सवितुर्वरेण्यम् भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। शांति शांति शांति। प्रेम की ये पुकार, हर दिल की पुकार, तुझको अर्पण करे साई माँ। मंजिल भी तुम्ही, रस्ता भी तुम्ही, हर कण कण में तुम्ही साई माँ। प्यार लान करते आज ही हम सभी साई माँ, साई माँ, साई माँ। प्यार लान करते आज ही हम सभी साई माँ, साई माँ, साई माँ। यादें जुड़ी तुमसे हमारी, और भी है रह गई बातें अनकही। यादें जुड़ी तुमसे हमारी, और भी है बह गई बातें अनकही। लम्हे जो सभी भर गए प्रेम में, लम्हे जो सरे भर गए प्रेम में, हम जो भी आज हैं तुमसे ही बने। प्यार ला करते आज ही हम सभी साई माँ, साई माँ, साई माँ। प्यार ला करते आज ही हम सही साई माँ, साई माँ, साई माँ। प्रेम की ये पुकार, हर दिल की पुकार, तुझको अर्पण करे साई माँ।
These summer months of Prashanti Nilayam, as we celebrate these months of April and May, memory invariably takes us to the times how Bhagwan used to spend these months in summer. Generally, after Shivratri, Swami would go to Whitefield, to his ashram in Bangalore, And it is not because the Lord was in discomfort in Prashantinilayam. I remember one occasion when Bhagavan came out of the interview room, and it was a very big crowd. We all know how the interview room is so short, so small in size. And we used to often wonder how sometimes 50 to 100 people used to fit inside the interview room. And I remember on that occasion, Swami came out of the interview room and he was sweating. And so he went into the bhajan hall. So someone there thought that he should help Swami to become more comfortable. So they put on the fan and someone came with a hand fan and they were trying to fan Swami. And Swami said, "Hey, I have lived all my life in this place. I'm born and brought up in this place. I'm used to the heat. I don't need anything." So in the summer months, if Swami used to go to Vrindavan, go to Bangalore, it was because he knew that if he continued to stay in Prashantinilayam, devotees also would stay, devotees also would come, and it would put the devotees into a lot of inconvenience. Not many of you would know that actually there was no AC in Bhagwan's room as long as he was there in the Prashantinilayam Mandir, where Bhagwan stayed right from 1950 to 1993. Even in 1993, when Bhagwan moved to the Purnachandra Auditorium, for another 10 years there was no AC. Even after that, AC was fixed in spite of sort of Bhagwan's unwillingness. So he never really had or looked for these comforts. His room was always a very small 8x6 room, whether he lived in the Mandir here or whether he was in the Purnachandra Auditorium. The new building was constructed only in 2005, and that was also again something which was sort of forced into Bhagwan. You know, when it comes to Bhagwan, he would say something and say once, but if you go on insisting, then he would say, "Fine, you do what you want." There was one occasion when Narayan Seva was organized in the Hillview Stadium, Bhagwan came to see the preparations. Swami instructed Mr. Kutumb Rao, who was then the secretary of the ashram, and along with him there was another senior devotee, a warden of the hostel. Swami inspected the entire area and then Swami said, "So let's have all the ladies sit here and the gents can sit opposite side, and in between there was a small aisle, a pathway for Swami." And Swami said that let us have all the invalids, all the handicapped people who are on the wheelchair, they can be along this aisle, along this row. And Swami gave that instruction and Swami left. After this, Mr. Kutumb Rao and this warden from the hostel, they were there, they were overseeing the arrangements. And this warden said, "Yes, Swami said that, you know, we can have the invalids there, but actually, if we have the invalids in one corner, if we have all these challenged people in one corner, in a row, it will actually be good for them because it will be close to the entrance, so they can very easily come in and get out. There will be a lot of crowd and, you know, they will not be put to any inconvenience." So that was the suggestion that was made by this warden to Mr. Kutumb Rao. And Mr. Kutumb Rao's response was, "Don't you think I have also that much common sense? When anything comes from Bhagwan, the first time when it comes, that is his instruction. And it is good for us if we just follow it blindly. In each one of our lives, there are moments when we have received those instructions from Bhagwan, either directly or indirectly. And it is good for us if we do not question, if we don't analyze, don't overanalyze, don't overthink, and just follow. If you go on insisting, if in the same situation, if you had gone back to Swami and said, 'Swami, you know what, actually it would be very convenient if the handicapped people are there on this corner, and then, you know, this will happen and that will happen, and this is what will make the whole situation more easy to manage,' and you go on explaining and Swami would perhaps listen once, twice, and then he'll say, 'Fine, you go ahead and do whatever you think is convenient.' It's like, you know, we are finding very difficult, Swami, to follow your instructions, so we have thought of an easier solution. So if you don't want to follow, he'll say, 'Fine, you do whatever you think is fine. I have told whatever I have to say.' It's the same with Bhagwan. You know, even if there were certain conveniences that were thrust upon him, it was like, because the devotees continued to pester, then you would say, 'Okay, fine, have it.' So in the summer months, Swami used to go to Vrindavan or to Kodaikanal. It was not because he wanted to get away from the heat. I remember in 1995 when the water project had started, and it was a time when Swami was monitoring the progress of this project on a day-to-day basis. And Swami did not go anywhere that entire summer vacation. It was very hot, but he did not go anywhere. It was 1995, there was no AC in the interview room or anything, or in his residence. But at that point in time, perhaps the completion of the water project, which would help hundreds of villagers to come out of their drinking water problem, was perhaps more important to Bhagwan than putting a few devotees into inconvenience in Prashantinilayam, who have to bear the temperatures to stay in Prashantinilayam and have his darshan. Because today in our country, if there are 100 people in India, even till today, 42 people do not have access to drinking water. So we live in a country where there is so much need. And here was Bhagwan demonstrating to us how one should feel one with the other's pain. And so Bhagwan left in the summer months to Vrindavan for reasons we do not know, what we can probably think are, yes, he did not want to put devotees into inconvenience. But the other thing that also used to happen is Bhagwan used to go to the hill stations, Uti or Kodaikanal, and he would not go alone. He would always go with a group of students. He would go with a few students and also a few guests. And I think that is the most important facet, the important aspect of this journey, because not everyone physically can have that opportunity of living with Swami. How many people can actually be granted that opportunity to live with Swami physically under the same roof? But what is possible is Swami can give this opportunity to a few, and through them we learn how the avatar moves. Through them we learn how the avatar eats, interacts, sleeps, converses, teaches. When you actually live with Bhagwan, then you become alive to that dictum that Bhagwan says, that my life is my message. And he really means it. And people who have lived with Bhagwan, and it is not just a few people who have served Bhagwan at very close quarters. This Kodaikanal was that opportunity where groups of students, year after year, 30, 40 students, they had this chance to actually see Swami dawn till dusk. You lived in the same house, under the same roof. There was only one door that separated you and Bhagwan. You slept on the same floor, and your schedule and routine was same as Bhagwan's schedule and routine. And that is where you got the opportunity to live a life where the Sadguru taught you, not through his words, but through every second of his physical existence. You observed him and you learned. One of the students who had the opportunity to go with Bhagwan to Kodaikanal for many years, on many occasions, is Brother Nitin Acharya. He had the opportunity to go with Bhagwan in 1996, 1997, 1998, 1999, and later in 2003, 2005. So he had many opportunities. And when I was interactive with him, and I asked him if he can jog down the memory lane and pick up the moments of 1998, he said, you know, by the time 1998 vacation happened, he had already visited Kodaikanal on two occasions. One was when he was not a student. He had just gone there as a visitor, and Swami gave him the chance to come inside Sai Shruti, Bhagwan's residence in Kodaikanal, and he had some moments to spend with Bhagwan. The second was after he completed his first year of MBA, and Swami had taken him along. And now in 1998, he had completed his second year of management. So this was the time when he had finished his education. This is a time when you want to make the most of every extra second that you can spend with the avatar, because, you know, 2 years are over and you don't know whether you're going to spend any more time with the avatar. You don't know whether he will give any more chance. And you want to extract every extra moment that you can with the avatar. And if you get a chance to go with Bhagwan to Kodaikanal, then your stay as a student at his lotus feet extends. Generally what would happen is, by the time the examinations end, or during the examinations, sometime in March, there would be this information the registrar of the university would come and he would very discreetly, very silently inform a few people that, you know, better be ready, have your luggage intact. There could be a chance that Swami might give you an opportunity. So there would be indications to a few students that they should be ready to travel to Vrindavan after the examinations are over and not book their tickets home. So in 1998, Nitin Acharya also came to know that his name is again there. And it was sort of now not a surprise to him because Swami had already taken him on two occasions. He was very happy, obviously. And so on the first week of April, after the examinations were over, I think on 1st April, Swami had arranged a bus for all these 20 students who were chosen by Bhagavan to travel to Vrindavan. So they started early in the morning and they reached Vrindavan by 9:30, 10 o'clock. Bhagavan's darshan was over and Swami had gone inside. But when it was informed to Swami that the boys from Puttaparthi have come, the boys that he has chosen to take with him to Kodaikanal, Swami told that they should be brought to Trai Vrindavan. And so all the students went there and Swami interacted with everyone. And when Swami saw Nitin, Swami said, "Oh, you have also come? But you had come last year also. Maybe you should give chance to someone else." He just laughed at, you know, maybe Swami was just joking. Because Swami is used to all this. So Swami would always pull someone's leg, you know, Swami would just try to play with him because he has already visited twice. And then Swami was interacting with others. Then after a while, again Swami looked at him. And Swami said, "Hey Acharya, you came last year, right? You should give chance to someone else." And he thought, "Oh my God, he's telling it again. Sounds a little serious." And then it happens for a third time. By the time they finish the session, Swami tells it again that kisi aur ko chance de sakta hai, you can give chance to someone else. And now, you know, if you had not been called, it would have been fine. Already your name is there on the list and you have come to Vrindavan all the way from Puttaparthi and, you know, everyone knows that you are coming, and now suddenly Swami says that, why is it that you should come? And it was not only him, there were one more student, and they came to know that both he and Siddharth, they were not perhaps supposed to be on this list. And so now he started wondering, so what to do now? He thought that he can take it for granted, but it did not happen that way. So what to do next? So he said, okay, let me approach the warden, because the warden was every day going to Swami. The warden would have those sessions with Swami after the interview and after the darshans. So he went to the warden and he said, what should I do? The warden said, well, you pray to Swami. Maybe you should write a letter. You write a letter. So he started writing letters to Swami, you know, praying to Swami that he be included and how much he pined for this chance. And this is the last year. He's finishing his education here and Swami should not deprive him of this opportunity and all that. And so the warden would take the letters. And after one or two days, the warden comes back and says, Swami says, why is this boy going on pestering? Why are you taking his letters? If he has any problem, he should tell me directly. Are you his intermediary? If he has any problem, ask him to come and talk to me. And of course, wherever he sat, Swami would not look at him. So there's no way he can directly talk to him, because Swami was avoiding him like he was something to be abhorred. Now, you know, days are passing. It is already April 3rd. And April 5th was Ram Navami. And there was rumor that Swami is going to live on April 6th. Just 2-3 days left. And every darshan is trying to get Bhagwan's attention. And Swami was completely avoiding him. And now he cannot even give letter to Swami. So what else to do? So the other option you have now was postal sadhana, as they call. You know, you post your letters and do it registered post. Some way it will reach Swami, because if the warden does not take and Swami does not take your letters physically, what else do you have? So he started writing these letters. He and this other student, they started writing letters and sending them by registered post. The post office was just next door in Vrindavan. And so these letters were going in, but there was no response from Swami. And it was now already April 5th. It was the day of Ram Navami. And something interesting happened the previous day. Suddenly two boys were called to Trai Vrindavan. And these two were singers in Vrindavan. So the news now circulated that Swami has picked up two more students for the Kodaikanal trip.
apparently there were no singers in the 20 members that Swami had picked up, and they always knew that some more students will get added in from Vrindavan campus. And so now that has happened. And now Nitin and Siddharth thought, that's it. You know, two of us, we were dropped, and now Swami has conveniently picked up two more students. So now there is no hope. And just when he was thinking like that and sending his letters, no response from Bhagwan, and Siddharth also was sending his letters, and then the news comes that Swami has granted Siddharth, because Siddharth was not fortunate to go with Bhagwan the previous year. So Siddharth is now included in the team. So the only person who was given the hope, and the only person who thought he was going and who was brought all the way from Puttaparthi saying he'll be part of the trip, is now dropped like a hot potato. And now he's alone. At least till now he had one more student accompanying him. Some soul to be with in your times of sorrow and joy. Someone who was with you to give some comfort. Now that guy also is there in the team, and he's like, he's the only person whom Swami does not want to take. For what? What is the reason? What is the crime? What did I do? If you did not want to take me, you could have told me right in the beginning, why do you do this? Why do you call me all the way here and then suddenly realize that, oh, you had gone, and then you say, why don't you give a chance? Why do you do all this? What has terribly gone wrong? Until March 31st, everything was fine. I came here, and what has happened in 24 hours that you don't want me? When the Lord drops someone, the whole world looks at you as if you are an evil omen. That's how it is. If the Lord calls you, the whole world applauds you. And if the Lord distances you, the whole world looks down upon you. Why this insult to me? So it's like, what sin have I committed? And so there was so much of pain in Nitin's heart, not able to understand what Swami is doing. You don't know what else to do. You have sent the letters. It is already Ram Navami. In the evening of Ram Navami, every evening what would happen is, after the evening function, Swami would call all the students to go inside Trai Vrindavan, where you would have the sessions with Swami. But on that day, only those students were called who were picked up for this trip. So the evening session was over, and all this Kodai team went up the stage, and they were hurrying inside Bhagwan's residence. Perhaps the last session they were to have with Bhagwan, where Bhagwan would give some instructions about this trip. And when everyone got up to go, Nitin also could not control himself, so he got up and he also joined that. And as he went and crossed the stage and went backstage to go to Bhagwan's room, the warden suddenly caught him and he said, hey, how can you go? You're not part of the team. And he thought, oh my God, this was the last opportunity. Tomorrow Swami is leaving and the warden stops me. What do I do? I've done everything that I can. And he stands there completely crestfallen. You don't know which other method to try, because he has blocked all the channels of communication. Your letter does not reach him. So finally he stands there and he starts to cry. Just breaks down, and he prays with an intensity that he has never prayed before. The pain was too much, because this was the last time he thought he will be going to stay with Bhagwan. He did not know what he is going to do in future. He is actually a very qualified engineer who had worked in a multinational company for 6 years. He had a very bright career. He had left everything. And he came here, no clue what to do in life. He wanted to ask Bhagwan what he should do further in life. And this was one opportunity. And now Bhagwan has closed all the channels of communication. So he stands there and he's crying and crying. And suddenly he hears all these noises coming from inside. You know, those instructions. He's used to it, that Bhagwan would give to all the students. Many of them were first timers to Kodaikanal. And he was thinking, how will I show my face to everyone? What is it that I should do with my life? And just crying and breaking down in front of Bhagwan. And just then, Trai door opens and another student runs to him and says, come, come, Swami is calling, Swami is calling. And he goes inside. And then Swami pretends as if nothing has happened. And he's part of the trip. So that evening, he goes and meets the warden. And he says, sir, we are in Karnataka. Because Nitin is someone who has a very good sense of humor. Swami used to play with the word Karnataka, and Swami used to say Karnatak. Natak means drama. He says to warden, sir, what kind of drama Swami played with me, sir? This is Karnataka, Karnatak. He was doing such a big drama with me. 6 days of what ordeal I had to face. Then the warden, sir, tells him, how was my drama? Oh my God, you were part, you knew all this right from day one? It was like, it was a stage thing. It was like Swami and the warden were together trying to put him through a grind. He had already gone to Kodaikanal 2 years. And I think this is the occasion that Swami, perhaps he thought that Kodaikanal trip is for granted. And whenever with God you take anything for granted, the Lord will ensure that you take everything in life with gratitude. We can never ever take anything from God as granted. Everything in life has to be taken with gratitude. Whether it is a moment of joy, if you are so ecstatic about it that you even forget to think of the Lord, He will do something to ensure that you come back to a plane where the first thing you do is first offer gratitude. At many times, you know, pain is such a great blessing because there's nothing that cleanses us as much as pain does. Someone very beautifully said, a crack in your being does not mean that you are broken. A crack in your being means that you were put to test and you did not fall apart. God is so compassionate that He will never give us a test which will break us apart. No, He cannot see breaking. What He always wants is making us. So whatever it needs to make us, He will do. He will take us to the last straw of our endurance. He will take us to the last moment of our patience. Because that is the way we will be made. That is the way He can make us. Only pain actually cleanses us. If we have to avoid pain, then at every moment of our lives, we should know how to live a life of gratitude. If at every single second of our life, if at every moment, if you are not so accelerated with happiness, but at that point also, if you are in the same state of equanimity, and if we can offer it to the Lord, then the Lord does not have to put us through these trials so that we are taught these great lessons of life. And so the journey to Kodaikanal starts, and they stop at Salem, where the devotees there had arranged for some snacks for Bhagwan and for the students. Swami, of course, does not eat, so it is basically for the students. Swami was, as always, he would take rounds, you know, when the students are eating, and there when Swami sees Nitin, Swami says, Hari, tum aa gaya? You have come. I thought you were having breakfast in Bangalore. How did you manage to come here? He's like, oh my God, I thought it is over. This is what is going to be, the whole trip is going. So it is like, even when you have got it, you can never ever say that you have got it. You don't know. At every moment, you cannot relax. Always be careful. With Bhagwan, you have to always be careful. Always be cheerful. Always be cheerful thinking of Him. You cannot let your head down and say, okay, fine, now I'm there. So it's okay now. Bah, I have got into the trip. Now nothing to worry. No, all the intensity of prayer. Now even an iota is not there. You know, it's all over. It was a drama. Everything is over. So now again Swami puts. So now every day he has to think. Because you don't know. There are so many times where students have been deported from Kodaikanal. So you don't know when at any moment anything can happen. You can reach Kodaikanal and next day Swami says, oh, you came. But I thought you were supposed to be in Vrindavan. Warden, I think he can go back. Anything can happen. And it has happened also. They say that if you are persistent, you will get it. But only if you are consistent, you can keep it. You can get it if you are persistent. But keeping that is not easy. You have to be really consistent. And that is the reason why, you know, many times I used to think, as a student, how is it that all these great sages, we hear some of those stories in our scriptures, I used to think, how such a sage could do this? How could he come down to this level? How did he become a prey to anger? How did he become a prey to jealousy? He's a sage. He has done penance for so many years. Then suddenly, how did a weakness of this nature overpower him? And the answer is, the ladder to God, the ladder on the spiritual path is always slippery. God will always want to see, are you still consistent? And you can fall at any moment. If you lose your focus, you can fall at any moment. And it can be anyone. And perhaps that is the reason why sometimes you cannot imagine that a person of this nature also could do this. It happens. Because we have so many our weaknesses. That's the reason why Swami was always telling us that you have to be always careful. And look at the way Swami is driving this lesson. That is a fantastic way when you live with the avatar. He does not have to tell you. But by living with him, these lessons get so deeply entrenched in you that they become lessons for a lifetime. Not lifetime, but lifetimes. You have to be always on guard. And so that is how he finally got into the trip. If you look at the journey of so many students who became part of this trip, each one will tell you a different story. Each one's level of preparedness in going to the divine is different, and the Lord uses different things to teach different people. There was another brother, Niranjan, who is currently the warden of the Prashantinilayam Senior Boys Hostel. He is someone who pined to be in Prashantinilayam. He, just like Nathan, was studying somewhere else. The only desire was to become a student in Swami's institution. You know, always praying, crying that Swami, I should become a student. When you have had darshans as a devotee, you know how far you are and how so difficult it is to get a moment with Swami, and you would always see the students getting so many opportunities. The only prayer that you have is, Swami, I want to become a student. And he had an opportunity when he got a chance to be with Swami. He got an interview in December 1996, and that is when Swami asked him, what do you want as a devotee? He said, Swami, I want to become a student. That was so uppermost in his mind. He did not ask for anything spiritual at that point in time. He told Swami, I want to become a student. Swami said, very good, he will get. So he was so happy, so ecstatic that he is going to become a student that he forgot what exactly he has to do. So in that moment, he thought, okay, Swami has told that I am going to become a student, and he wrote the entrance, and he did not qualify. He said, oh my God, Swami told I will become a student. And how did this happen? Someone said, Swami told he will become a student, but did Swami tell you when? He told, oh my God. So now I don't know when. Then someone else came and told, yeah, Swami had told another boy also, you will become a student, but he got MBA after 6 years. He said, oh my God. So, you can never ever take any moment for granted. There is no shortcut to your own efforts. Swami said, the divine grace will come like rain, but you have to cultivate the field, you have to toil, you have to put those seeds, and you have to cultivate that soil, and you have to give the manure, you do everything, finally the rain will come. But without doing anything, just because the Lord has said that, you know, I am going to have a bumper crop, I cannot sit at home and imagine that suddenly the ground will automatically become fertile and the seeds will automatically be sown and the manure will automatically be put and the rain will come and the bumper crop will be harvested. God, He is not here to make us lazy. He is only here to ensure that whatever actions we do it as a dedication to Him. He is not here for us to conveniently say, Swami will take care, I don't have to do anything. That is escapism. That is tamasic, Swami says. He is not here also for us to say that I am doing this because I want this result. So, if you undertake action with the intention of the result in mind, if you undertake action with complete expectation of the fruit in mind, that is okay, but that is rajasic action, Swami says. At least you are doing action that is good. But what the Lord actually wants us to do is to do action for the sake of doing action, but leave the results to Him. Only then we qualify to be a devotee. That is what is satkarma. That is what is the sattvic level of action. So here, what did Niranjan do? He said, okay, Swami said he will take care. So he thought, there's no need to do for me action. So Swami again has to intervene and ensure that, hello, you got to do your job. I will then decide whether now the result and what kind of a result should be given, when it is to be given, in what form it is to be given. I don't believe generally in astrologers for the simple reason that we never ever know what is really going to happen, because the Lord can change anything at any moment. If there was really someone who could predict the future to 100% or 99% accuracy, then perhaps you would have not been having time to eat, sleep or drink, because there would be such a long queue. From the politicians to celebrities to beggars, everyone would be there at his doorstep. I don't think it works that way. It's a very, very complicated cosmos that the Lord has created. But what is the way for us is to perform the action and then leave it to Him. Then He, at any moment of time, can decide to change anything depending on what is good for us, because all he is interested in is, are we progressing on the spiritual path? That is the only interest. That is his only goal, because ultimately he wants us to be happy, and happy not for short periods of time, but happy for longer periods of time. Lasting happiness. So that is how Niranjan was disappointed, and then he said, oh my God, now I have to work. So he started preparing properly for the entrance, and the next year he wrote the entrance, and he got in. It happened in his time. God likes to upset our plans so that he can execute his plans. We should not feel suddenly that, you know, we are the master of our destiny. So that's how Niranjan got in. And you know, after he got in, he was so all the time pining for that extra second with Bhagwan that he spent all his time in MBA, 97 and 98, all those 2 years, always only trying to do what is it that I can do to get Bhagwan's attention. That was the only intensity. And the intensity was consistent all throughout those 2 years. Because the intensity perhaps was so consistent that, you know, finally, automatically he was part of the Kodai trip. And for him it was a great moment. You know, at that moment it was a moment of gratitude. For Nitin it was a moment, he took it for granted. But for Niranjan, it was a moment of gratitude. It was a fulfillment of 2 years of penance. So perhaps the Lord thought that it's high time to reward him. And that is how he was part of the trip. And then there was another student who was picked up, as I told you, as a singer. He had no clue that he can even think that he can be part of the trip. On the Ram Navami day, on that morning, he and another brother, they sing bhajans, and that evening the warden calls him and says, look boy, Swami has decided to bless you with a nice opportunity. And because this student, along with being a singer, he was also an altar boy. The altar boy in the Vrindavan campus had this beautiful role to play, where they would prepare the area for Bhagwan. Before Bhagwan arrives, they would keep Bhagwan's chair in the right place, and they would ensure that Bhagwan's kerchief is there on the chair, and they would always have a garland of fragrant flowers on Bhagwan's chair. They would ensure that there is the stool and there is Bhagwan's tumbler. So there was all those little things they are supposed to do in Mandir, as well as look after the altar in the hostel. And one beautiful chance that some of the altar boys used to have is to sit behind Bhagwan. They would generally not be visible to people. And when Bhagwan used to get up to give a discourse, they would pull the chair little behind so that Swami has enough room to stand and give discourse. So when the warden told him that you have been selected and Swami has decided to give you a nice opportunity, he thought this is the chance that Swami wants to give him. Because as an altar boy, he was hoping when Swami will give him that chance of sitting behind and pulling Swami's chair. You know, then you actually sit on the stage and, you know, maybe Swami will look at you when he comes and when he returns from the stage and all that. But when the warden gave him news that you're going to go to Kodaikanal, he just could not imagine. It was not there even the wildest of his imagination. He had actually booked his tickets to go with another of his friends to another hill station, Uti. It was a bolt from the blue, as they say, and suddenly he said, you know, I don't know what is happening to me. The next 24, 48 hours, it was almost like I was in autopilot mode. Someone took me to the store, someone bought me this, someone else took me to another shop, bought me this, and suddenly I was the sinusoid of everyone's eyes. I didn't know what was happening. Someone took me to a barber, did a haircut, someone looking after my suitcase. It just was in a flow. I never ever thought. But he said the only thought that was there that day when I was sitting and singing bhajans was, Swami, I don't know whether I will get this chance again, because this is my final year of graduation. I don't know whether I will get a chance to study MBA, because there is the entrance and there is the group discussion and interview. I don't know whether I will get this chance to get through the entrance. But please ensure that you are always there in my heart. That was the only prayer, you know, as he was singing those bhajans the final day, because the next day Swami was to leave. That was the Ram Navami day. But that feeling for Swami perhaps was so pure and so intense that the next day he finds himself in the bus to Kodaikanal. So if you see, everybody's journey is so different, and look at how the Sadguru ensures that everybody's intensity is rewarded. The only way to get the Lord's proximity is intensity. What is needed is that intensity. You may not have the ability, you may not have the capability, you may not have that talent, but if you have that intensity, you will always be granted. And if you do not have that intensity, He knows how to create that intensity also in you. That is again His blessing. But that is the only motto of the Lord. And at every opportunity, how Bhagwan continues to teach this. As they were in Kodaikanal, you know, every moment you live with Bhagwan, so every moment there are lessons. One day, all the students had gone for the morning walk. Generally, the schedule in Kodaikanal is that Swami would ask all the students to go for a walk around the Kodai lake, and that is the time when He would go out and give darshan. Otherwise, at all other times during the day, the students are with Bhagwan. That is the only time actually you are away from Bhagwan. And you know, as you stay few days in Kodaikanal, you get used to that routine and you know what I should do so that I can get a prime place. So I have seen how, you know, even when you're going for a morning walk, as the boys are returning, there would be sort of a competition, you know, to walk faster. You want to reach faster, because if you come faster, then probably you will get to sit in the front in Sai Shruti. At every session, each one has their own calculation. Some students would skip even the food and only serve so that, you know, after the food session, they will not waste time eating. So after the food session, they can just come and sit straight. They don't lose time eating. So each person would make their calculations depending on where Swami is going to sit, you know, so that I can actually sit closer to Him. So Niranjan, one particular day, he was returning from the walk quickly. Every day he was sitting in the front and he wanted to do that again and again. You cannot afford to miss even one day. That's the kind of state you are in when you have that opportunity. Every day you count, you know, one more day we have got with Avatar, one more day. Let's make the most of it. And so one day he was just coming, and generally the students would come through a back door which opens up to the dining room, and Swami would generally be in the drawing room after the interview is over. And so that day as he came in, suddenly he opened the door and Swami was there in the dining room. And Swami was wild the way he rushed in, and Swami said, "Buddhiledu, should I have manners?" Something of that nature, and Swami reprimanded him and he was shocked. I mean, he thought, what did I do? He was in a hurry, yes, but he never expected that Swami will be in the dining room. And it was a reprimand from Swami, and he said, what did I do? I mean, all I was trying to do is come and sit at His lotus feet, and I get scolded for that. So the next 2 days, Swami does not look at him, Swami does not talk to him, and you know, there's a lot of introspection going on. What did I do wrong? And then it occurred to him, you know, every day I'm trying to sit in the front. Every day I'm competing with everyone and sitting in the front. Maybe Swami is trying to tell me, hello, you should think about others also. It's a group of 20-30 boys. Perhaps you should think about giving chance to others also. Sort of that realization came that maybe Swami is telling me that you should not always try to grab all the chances for yourself. Even when you're there with the avatar, can you be selfless? Can you think about the other person? And that realization dawned, and then he started crying. And 3 days passed, a lot of intense churning, and you know, it is so painful, especially in Kodaikanal, Swami does not talk to you. You know, it's a very different experience, because, see, if you are here in the student, there are 300 students, and if Swami does not talk to you, it is fine. You can give it any reason. Okay, Swami was busy, Swami wanted to talk to that person, some devotee had come, some guest had come, but if there are 20 boys, and Swami is looking at you day in and day out, He cannot but look at you, and Swami does not talk to you. It's a very, very painful process. Very difficult to describe it in words, because I know what it means. So every day, every session you are there and Swami is avoiding you, and you feel so terrible, because you know, this is the chance of your lifetime, and every day is just getting wasted. Swami doesn't want to look at you. You don't know whether you will get chance to be again with Swami. You have like 8 sessions with Swami. Session after session you are avoided. So it was going on within him. And he was thinking, what is the mistake that I have done? And then one day, after all that introspection, he goes, and then finally Swami calls him. And Swami says, "Hey, Niranjan, papam." He's crying in the bathroom. Call him. Literally he did that. He was crying in the bathroom. "Swami, what is this? After having brought me here, why have you distanced me? What mistake have I done?" While that realization happened, that I should think about others also, even then the Lord is there, I cannot grab all the chances for myself. He said, see, it was such an important lesson for me, because in later years, Swami again took him in 99 and 2003. He said, during those years, somehow that feeling was so strong that I felt now I should not keep grabbing all the chances. He had already gone before, and earlier he had gone as a student, and now he's gone as a research student, which is almost like being a faculty member, and later he went as a faculty member. He said, see, after that, I never had that feeling that I should get all the chances. After that, he was all the time happy to give the chance to others. He was always at peace that, Swami, you have given me this chance to come. That itself is more than enough. I should ensure that others get chance. It is so difficult for us to any time analyze. That's what I have realized. You know, at many point in time, the Lord also might appear very illogical to us. And that used to happen with Bhagwan. Many times you would think, why did Swami do this? And he would suddenly reprimand someone for seemingly no crime of his. And to another person who has done a huge crime, he would just let it go. We can never ever understand, because he does not operate on human and material yardsticks. Bhagwan would ask all the students to go for shopping. So there was this one occasion when students came back with a lot of things that they had bought, and Swami would always be very inquisitive. It was a very beautiful session. Swami would ask, what did you buy? And someone would show, Swami, I bought this sari for my mom. And someone would say, Swami, I bought this shawl for my father. I bought this earrings for my sister. You know, generally everyone would try to show their best self there and not thinking about themselves and thinking only about the others. That would be a very beautiful session. They would get things for Swami also. I remember one occasion, someone had bought a statue, and it was a statue of Meera. And they said, Swami, it is for you. What is this, Swami? This is Meera for you. Swami said, no, Meera is always here. This is Meera's statue. Meera is always here. So this would be a very beautiful session. Very, very revealing moments. No moment is lighthearted, you know, with Bhagwan. On one occasion, Swami was seeing all these different gifts that the students had got. The next day, Swami asked one of the faculty members that, I want to take 100 or odd shawls to Puttaparthi. So why don't you go find out from these Tibetan merchants if they can give us 100 shawls. So this faculty member, Mr. Ruchir Desai, he goes there and he talks to them. He finds out that these guys do not have that big number. So he asks them, when can you get it? So they said, you know, we will need 2-3 days. And so he asks what will be the price, and they give a price. And that price is actually higher. And he says, come on, what is this? I mean, it does not make sense. First of all, you should give me a discount, because I'm not buying one or two, I'm buying more than 100. It's common sense that you should give me a discount. On one hand, you are saying you cannot give me a discount. And now, when I'm saying that I want more, you are saying you will get it from some other place, and you are saying that you're going to charge me higher. What is this? Doesn't make sense at all. First of all, it is delayed, and now you want to charge me higher. So this faculty member, Ruchir sir, he thinks what to do, and you know, given the astute businessman that he is, he thinks, why not I contact directly from the place from where these guys are getting? Because he finds out that these guys are getting from a place 55 kilometers from Kodaikanal, and he, through his sources, finds out that there is this factory from where the Tibetans source their shawls, and he discovers that if he gets it from there, then he will get it cheaper. He's happy with this arrangement that he has done, satisfied that he will actually be spending Swami's money judiciously. So next day Swami asks him, did you buy the shawls? He says, Swami, it is being done, Swami. It will come in a few days. Before we leave for Puttaparthi, it will come. No, no. Why is it going to take so much time? No, Swami, I have ordered. Have you ordered? Yes, Swami, I have ordered, but why should it take so much time? No, Swami. Swami was constantly asking, so he had no option but to tell the truth. So he said, Swami, this is the thing. These people said they will get it after 2-3 days and they are charging higher. So I have done the wise thing of contacting the factory and getting it at a cheaper price, and it is going to come, Swami. I have put people on the job. And the moment Swami heard this, Swami was so wild, he said, I have got the firing of my life. He said, how can you take away food away from their mouths? How can you take away food from their tables? Do you have any mercy? Your people are like that. You only think only about money. Can you think about anything else other than money? He thought, oh my God, what did I do? I thought I was using Swami's money judiciously, trying to get it cheaper. The whole thing is backfired. And then Swami said, do you know, I come to Kodaikanal only for 2 months or 1.5 months in a year. That is the only time these Tibetans make some money. That is the only time they earn for their entire year. Why you have to become so merciless? Why you have to always only think about money? I am giving you the money. What's your problem? The story goes also that many years ago, when Bhagwan had gone to Kashmir, perhaps in 1980, Swami had made a visit, and earlier he had made in 1957. But in one of those visits, Swami had once bought one shawl from a Tibetan merchant there. They're not merchants, they're just traders, hawkers. And that person was so much overwhelmed with Bhagwan and Bhagwan's gesture that Swami wanted to buy, that he said, "Swami, I will not take any money from you, Swami." He gave it as his offering to Bhagwan. And Swami always remembers that. If you do even a little for the Lord, you can rest assured that it will only come back to you millionfold. We can never ever say that we have sacrificed anything for the Lord. It's a misnomer. You can never ever sacrifice anything for the Lord. All you can do is just dedicate a moment to Him. And it is the most wisest investment that you would have made. It is the wisest investment that you would have made. You don't need insurance. You need only His assurance. Because He will ensure. You don't know how He can conjure the forces of nature for your welfare. Man operates through material yardsticks. But God operates through spiritual yardsticks. Our rewards and reprimands are based on worldly considerations. A CEO would have rewarded Mr. Ruchir Desai and told, "You are a fantastic manager. You have used your common sense and intelligence." But rewards and reprimands of the divine are based on other worldly considerations. And that is how living with Lord is true education. What is education? Sa vidya ya vimuktai. Only that which can liberate us. And what can liberate us? Only when we have that intensity. The only way to proximity is intensity. And God is God only because of His intense intensity in our interest. His intense, intense intensity in the welfare of each one of us. That is why He is God. And we can become God only when we have that intense intensity, at least an iota of that intensity that He has for us. And that is why Swami always used to say that God is your best friend. You know, in the Navavidha Bhakti, last is Sakhyam. Because He will do, a good friend will do only that what is good for you. Not what is convenient for you or for Him. He will do only what is good for you. And that is what God always does. And that's why He is our greatest friend. After you have Sakhyam, then you have finally Atmanivedanam.
Poochho na kaisi hai meri ma, ek sachi dost jaisi ma, ek sachi dost jaisi ma. Are poochho na kaisi hai meri ma, ek sachi dost jaisi ma. Mere badan mein jaan jaisi ma, mili mujhe kismat se aisi ma, mili mujhe kismat se aisi ma. Are poochho na kaisi hai meri ma, ek sachi dost jaisi ma, ek sachi dost jaisi ma, ek sachi dost jaisi ma.